You're listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, impacting marriages that leave a lasting legacy.
Good morning and welcome. We are Richard and Donna, Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, here with Revival Now Ministries.
Yep, thanks for joining us.
We're here with the Marriage Minute, as you can tell, right here, Marriage Minute. I kid, but thank you for joining in, those of you that are on right now. And if you're watching later, you know, just like and share this content. But if you're here with us now, just let us know, comment and let us know that you're with us and where you're watching from. So, so we'll jump right in, because typically we go past our what we want to go past time-wise.
Right.
What are we talking about? So
last week was good.
Last week, you know, we kind of shared a lot about, are my parents' issues following me into my marriage?
Right.
And emphatically, we could say, yes, absolutely it is. It happens. It's repetitive modeling. Parenting is caught and not taught. You know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. All of those cliches out there are true. Because we do carry a lot of what we saw and experienced growing up, it's just natural, into our marriage. Pastor Richard and I did that into our parenting style. We just emulated what our parents did.
Hit repeat. And that's what we did.
And repeat. So you know, that's what we covered last week. And we did mention a little bit last week about inner vows. And before we go into talking about how to break the cycles of our past, how to break those generational things that come into us from our marriage, which is what we're talking about today, inner vows and breaking the cycle of our past, because you can do that. You don't need, you know, some pastor or evangelist or, you know, somebody that you think is more spiritual than
super
you.
Spiritual.
You know, that's a lie. You can do this. You have direct access to God through Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And so he does all the work for you, but you have to be a willing participant. Well, we'll get to that. So last week, as a refresher, we talked about iniquities a lot.
We did.
You know, iniquities are those sinful behavior patterns that we were talking about that they can happen in every area of your life. We're talking about marriage and specifically, you know, what we inherit from our parents in this context. So there are sinful behavior patterns like anger, abuse.
Mm-hmm. How you handle money.
How you handle money. How you handle conflict. That's a huge one. You know, that's a big one that children inherit from their parents, you know. I'm going to handle conflict with you, which is really not handling it at all, the way that I saw my parents do, and you're going to do the same with your parents. But today we want to really kind of go over what an inner vow is as well, so we can kind of piggyback those together as we talk about how to break those cycles.
Yeah, so, you know, an inner vow is, it's basically a self-directed promise.
That's good.
Yeah. And you basically, you know, from your past, you may have been hurt by something, you know, hurt in the parental relationship that you had with your mom and your dad. Something happened that triggered you to make this self-directed promise. And so an example that might look like, well, let's just say you had a parent that was abusive in some form or fashion. And so maybe you see authority figures as people that will hurt you. And you tell yourself that, like, I will never trust a person in authority again.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that happened in my life.
And it's not something that you consciously as a kid say, I'm going to make this determination right here and right now that I'm not trusting any adult ever again or any authority. That's not how it works.
No, and you really need the power of the Holy Spirit to make revelation and to bring revelation into your heart and into your mind about these things. Because as you said, honey, that's a great point. When we're like 4 or 5 years old or whatever, path and a lot of our decision making, even our thoughts and beliefs, are formed by the age of 7 years old. And so a lot of how we do life comes from those years.
Mm-hmm.
And so not that they don't get reinforced even into our teen years and our early adult years, but a lot of those foundational belief systems that we have are formed by that age.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it's not like this, it's not a conscious thought, like
right,
you said. It's,
right.
it's very unconscious, but it's a self-directed promise that we make to ourselves in a means of protection because we were hurt. There was some pain associated with an event that took place in our life.
That's a good point to remember. You know, we don't do these to be malicious.
No, it's not really a malicious thing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, it turns into a sinful behavior pattern, not because you were looking for that to happen, not that you were trying to decide that this was a sinful behavior pattern that you wanted to set up in your life. It wasn't something that was even a conscious thing that you were doing. It just happened.
I know you've shared this before, so it's okay to share it now. You were talking about when you were in kindergarten and you were not allowed to go to the bathroom and you ended up going all over the floor and it was embarrassing.
Fell on the chair, went over the floor. I look back on it now, it's kind of funny, but you know, at the time when you're 5 years old,
think about it when you're so little.
It's very traumatic.
Yeah, it's very traumatic. And so what happened for him unconsciously is that he decided right then and there that it was his teacher that wouldn't let, and he wasn't going to trust anybody in authority.
Mm-hmm. It was protection.
It was a protection.
So it was a painful event.
Yeah.
It was protection. Yeah. And so I that set up in my life, right? It was reinforced through some other things that happened in my life that I couldn't trust people, but in authority. I still struggle with that at times. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, I know what the source and the root of that thing
is,
and I fight against it.
Amen.
So, you know, God's going to help you do that too.
Amen.
So
what are some other intervals?
Some other things
examples.
Can be like, okay, I'll never treat my child like that. Or I'll never discipline my child.
I'll never spank my child.
I'll never spank my child.
Yeah.
I'll never be poor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you grew up in poverty. And so what that creates, that promise, that self-directed promise creates is that you're going to pursue the riches of this world.
That's true.
You're going to work. You're going to be a workaholic. That's what that drives you toward.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to drive into be a, you know, workaholic. You're going to be, you know, pursuing materialistic things, the next big house, the next nice car, the next piece of jewelry, the shoes, whatever that is. That inner vow, that self-directed promise drives your behavior and what you're going to do. And I lived in that for a time.
Yeah.
Not that we grew up poor, we didn't really, but I did pursue materialistic things.
Mm-hmm.
I thought those were things that are going to bring me satisfaction in this life, and it never did. It always left me empty.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what a self-directed promise does to us.
Yeah.
It drives our behavior,
it does.
And it basically then sets up that this is my truth. I set this higher above the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God no longer is that truth in that area in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's now this promise that I've made myself that really drives my truth,
right?
Which really isn't truth.
That's right.
So yeah, do you have some other things you want to add to
that? I think one for me was I'll never let a man control me.
That's good.
You know, and we'll talk about extremes that these inner vows create you to live in an extreme a little bit later in the broadcast. But that was a big one for me. I will never let a man control me because that's what I saw my dad do with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was kind of overt that way, but he was also under the radar, you know, with the silent treatment, stuff like that, that really affected me. And I didn't want that for myself, you know, and so I will never. So if you, you know, I'll never trust X, Y, Z, you know, you can just add in whoever, whatever, wherever the trauma, you know, I'll never trust relatives. I'll never trust people with money. I will never trust whatever it is. Inner vows always start with I will never.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how you know that's an inner vow. And that's what you have really taken into your spirit, into the core of who you are. And it sets the foundation from where you live your life from.
Right. Another one I was thinking about, honey, not to belabor it, but I was like, I will never be good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of that one, you know, it's a vow. But it can also be almost a judgment as well, because you're basically making a judgment against somebody that told you that you wouldn't be good enough, right?
Yeah.
So ultimately, it leads toward forgiveness. But I can see how I will never be good enough can really play out, because if you saw
it play out in my life.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. what someone says to you, and if they give you some affirming words, which is one of your love languages, sometimes those even affirming language that comes, or those statements that come to you, you push them away because you still have this tape playing that I'm not good enough. So you can't even receive a compliment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Even right. when the person is
you can't allow somebody to bless you.
Exactly. So that's another thing that yeah. the inner vow does
yeah.
is it prevents someone else from blessing you.
That's right.
That's right. That's what it does. That's how it plays out in your life.
So what does God's word say about these things?
That's a good question.
Yeah, let's look at
because we want his truth.
We
right?
want his truth. You don't want Richard and Donna truth. You want God's truth. Mm-hmm. What does he say mm-hmm. in his word about inner vows, about self-fulfilling, you know, promises mm-hmm. and
self-protection, promises.
Self-guiding. Yeah. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 34 and 37. I'm going to read in the NLT.
Let me look that up. I want to be with you yep. when you're reading yep. that. Matthew chapter 5.
34 and 37.
Okay.
So it says here, but I say, do not make any vows. Okay, right there in his word. Do not make any vows. Do not say by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. Mm-hmm. And do not say by earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just say a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. What is God's word trying? What is he trying to say here?
Right.
So let's look at like inner vows and what they really are. And basically what you're saying to you're vowing to yourself, I am vowing to myself, I will never let a man control me. Mm-hmm. So I am vowing to myself that I am going to pull all of this into myself. I'm going to handle this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take control of this.
There you go.
I'm going to manage my life in this area because I don't trust anybody, let alone God,
right,
to handle my life. Because look what's happened.
Well, because God's an authority figure, right? And if you've had a traumatic incident with a person in authority, a parent, whatever,
mm-hmm.
then you can naturally transfer that belief system onto God.
Exactly.
Even though we can't see God, we look at our parents at times because they were that authority figure, and we translate how they may have acted or responded or trained us up mm-hmm. or, you know, a bad incident may have happened, and we then apply that. Well, that's how God is, and
so,
he's not.
So basically, you become Lord of this area of your life,
right?
Not God. Mm-hmm. You're pretty much, well, not pretty much. You're saying to God, you can't handle this
mm-hmm.
because I'm not going to trust you, Lord, to handle this area of my life. This over here you can have, mm-hmm. and this over here you can have, but this area I'm gonna take control. I'm gonna be Lord of my life in this area.
Right.
And basically you are turning your back on God, really, is what's happening. And yeah. are you going to read James 4, 13
yeah,
to 16?
It helps when I get in the right chapter.
So you sit on the throne. You are Lord of your life in this area. So at this point, you have you have elevated that inner vow to be an idol in mm-hmm. your life.
Yeah, let me read that for you.
I'll get to the next one.
Here. James chapter 4. Verses 13 through 16. It says, look here, you who say today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to do something, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. So God calls that evil. So when we lift our own plans up, which is what we're talking about, this inner vow, this is our own plan. This is a self-directed promise that came out of trauma
mm-hmm.
or some yeah. hurt from our yeah. life, right? So now this is what we function by. Essentially, what we're doing is we're making that an idol in mm-hmm. our life.
Yeah.
So we've lifted that belief system up, this inner vow that we've made, and we say, no, that has more authority mm-hmm. and more power in my life than actually the word of God.
Amen.
So that's the struggle that we get
so
into.
God
calls that evil.
Thank you. I was just going to say, so what does God say in his
yeah,
word?
He calls
we've read
evil.
That. He calls it evil. And anything that is not of God is evil.
But here's what it says. Let's just look at this again. Look here. You say,
mm-hmm.
you who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and stay there. We will do business there and make a profit. So then the question comes from the Lord, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow?
Because what that scripture is saying is I, and me.
I'm directing.
Yeah.
But you're directing from a wrong place, right. a wrong belief system that was formed early on in your life.
So in Isaiah 55, 8, 9, this is another scripture that backs up, you know, when we have an inner vow or we take control of an area of our life and we lord over it and not allow God to work that out and work that through in our life so it doesn't have to be baggage or bondage or anything. He sets you free in that area. The Lord, he says, my thoughts, this is Isaiah 55, 8, 9, my thoughts are not like your thoughts, thankfully, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts.
Yeah.
God is the ultimate. Mm-hmm. He is more than capable of handling anything, any inner vow, any iniquity, any sin that you're dealing with. He is more than capable and has handled it for millions and billions and billions of people. And so what is he saying? He's saying, you know what? I have this. You just need to trust me.
There you go.
And so that's where,
it's really trusting God. God is not a man that he should lie. God is for you. He's not against you. He already has your story written out, and it's a matter of you letting go of things. So pride becomes a big issue here, right? So when we can't let go of these belief systems, these wrong belief systems, or these thoughts, these predetermined self-directed promises that have been created, not because we did it maliciously, like we talked about before, but it happened as a result of something earlier in your life. Well, when that thought basically is there, and that's what runs your life, and it prevents other people from blessing you, especially God from blessing you. Now you've elevated that thing above the Word of God and above His ways, because His ways, as the scripture said, you read that, are higher than our ways. Mm-hmm. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts.
Yeah.
And he's for us, and He's not against us.
Yeah. And so the root of all of this is fear.
It's fear.
Yeah.
It's the unknown.
Yeah.
It's pride. Pride can get in the way. Mm-hmm. We get puffed up. We think, I know best. I know what's best for me. Mm-hmm. But we say that because it's out of a protectionist mindset.
Yeah.
I've got to protect myself from something or someone.
So if you can imagine with us, if you're a visual person, you know, inner vows are, they're like railroad tracks. They have a railroad track effect on your life. And what do I mean by that? What I'm saying is that inner vow is what's guiding you, not God. You may not even know that it's there, but it is silently guiding you. That is where you pull your responses from. That's where you pull how I do life from in this protection mode. And it is just silently guiding you along the track, along the railroad track. And you don't even realize it and recognize it. And that's one of the things that initially needs to happen. And we'll talk about that. But it is something that guides you and directs you, and you don't even know it.
Yeah, it's your highest loyalty, right?
It is.
You become loyal to that belief system, and that's how you do life in that particular area. Like, okay, I'm never going to be poor. Well, everything related to money and finances is what's driving your life based on how you believe,
which is
I'm never going to be poor again. So your life, that becomes your loyalty. Yeah. That's your highest loyalty. It's not what God says, that you can trust Him as you give and you're generous and you are giving toward the kingdom of God. He said that will come back to you. So there's
God's law of sowing and reaping isn't going to take effect in your life.
It isn't going to take an effect. That's
you're great. Not going to believe that God can give you abundance and overflow and everything that your heart desires, because now you feel like you need to be the one working for it.
Right. So now you're operating in two different kingdoms. God's kingdom says, sow and you will reap. God is not mocked, right? Mm-hmm. But you're saying with this belief system, your truth, you're saying, no, I have to earn it. I have to work for it. I have to do all these things to get to this place in life. Well, that's the kingdom of this world. That's not the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
There's no peace and rest in that.
Absolutely none.
Yeah.
So, you've got to be careful, because that's what inner vows do. They become your loyalty, and you're going to hang on to that versus hanging on to the Word of God.
And really what happens is, you know, it's so normal learning and normal growth in your life don't happen. What happens is when you have, and we all have them, or had them, it causes you to live in the extremes. You become unteachable. Mm-hmm. That's where I was. I was completely unteachable. And you live in the extremes. And until you break those off of your life, these iniquities and these inner vows, you will still live in extremes. What do we mean by that? You've talked a lot about, I will never be poor again. So you mm-hmm. become very materialistic. You strive to have, you keep up with the Joneses, is mm-hmm. the old saying.
Sure.
You know, other examples.
I'm thinking about one that, you know, we've dealt with people when we've done some counseling before, but there's a term that's been used kind of in the counseling world, arrested development. Mm-hmm. Some people are kind of stuck in their teenage years, and there is a vow that they've made to themselves about not being hurt, but you can see in how they respond to things, their emotional, spiritual development is still, it's stunted. It's, mm-hmm. It's been, mm-hmm. What's the word you used when you were describing that? It's,
The learning and normal learning doesn't
happen. Anyway, they're stunted. And so it's like they're unteachable. And so at that point, the way they respond, the way they do life is from this arrested place. They're mm-hmm. mentally, they're still stuck in their teenage years. Yeah. They may be 40 years old, but they cannot respond to circumstances, situations, because they're still operating as a teenager.
There's no maturity there.
So yeah, you've got to be careful with that.
Another thing a lot of parents do is that mm-hmm. my kids will never wear hand-me-downs. It goes along the line of materialism in the regard, not that you're trying to get out there and earn money. You do feel like you need money, but your kids have to have the best of everything. And right. what that creates in your child, then you're going to repeat the behavior and repeat the cycle until it's broken.
Right.
Unknowingly, what you're creating, you know, is it bad to give our kids good things? No. Is it bad that our kids don't have to, or is it a good thing that maybe they don't have to wear hand-me-downs? No, that's great. As long as you see it from the right source, as long as you're perceiving it as, thank you, Lord. Thank you that, you know, you provide these things for us, and not, I have to go out and put, you know, $3,000 on a credit card so my kids can start school with the best of everything. And so it creates that entitlement in your children,
yes.
which is an extreme.
Yeah.
We see a lot of that out there today.
Another extreme might be, you know, you might say, based upon how you were raised, maybe your parents were severe in their punishment. Maybe there was some physical abuse that could have taken place. And you may have said to yourself, I'll never discipline my child like mm-hmm. that. Well,
there's
certain things, obviously, you don't want to repeat. Obviously, right. if there's physical beating Absolutely. Taking place Absolutely. And abuse, that's one thing. But when you make that all-inclusive statement, I'll never discipline my child, well, then you're kind of going against the Word of God as an extreme, right? The Word of God says, train up a child in the way they should go. Discipline is okay. God mm-hmm. says, I discipline those whom I love. That's from Hebrews.
God's discipline.
From the book of Hebrews. And so we need to not take a position, or you need not take a position that you're never going to discipline your child, because you're not actually training your child up in the way they should go. Mm-hmm. You're allowing them to become an adult, and they don't have adult thinking. Mm-hmm. They don't have mm-hmm. the wisdom. They don't have the experience of life, and they need a standard by which to live by. And the only standard that comes across and pervades time and works through all situations is the Bible. God's mm-hmm. word, his instruction, is what's going to raise a child up the way he should go. Same with us.
You know, the last example I'll give was an example from my life, is I'll never let a man control me. And what that does, mm-hmm. you know, hindsight is 20/20, right? What that did in my life was, I looked for boyfriends and partners or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
That wouldn't challenge me. That wouldn't cause me to be upset about things, you know, that mm-hmm. I could control.
And you married one.
And I married one. I mean, he's under the radar control. We talked about that.
Yeah.
But yeah. And so, you know, I men were not something that I gave 2 seconds to. And I, you know, you create an extreme where you are now, I'm feminist, you know, women mm-hmm. rule, I can do all things. And
I don't need a man.
I don't need a man. And, you know, what happened is, you know, our children witnessed that growing up. So what happens is then now I'm head of the household in so many ways. I'm not financially the head of the household, but what mama says goes, and that's not healthy, because they grew up watching me control you, mm-hmm. I guess I would say. Mm-hmm. I think it was, gosh, how old were they? 12 and 10 and 13 or something when things started to change for us.
Right.
And
right.
so, you know, thank you, Lord, for all of that. But that's an extreme. You know, the domineering woman, the emaciated man, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right word?
Yeah.
You know, so anymore, I mean, you see it out there all the time. You know, I see it in commercials. I'm so sick of these commercials where there's this one commercial, it's a car commercial, and the woman is out there, she's climbing all these, you know, they're out there climbing and doing all these hiking and you know and the man is all scared and he can't rappel mm-hmm. down the side of this. He's all, you know, timid and scared, and they come up on this, it's a cow for crying out loud, and he goes, oh, is that a buffalo, you know? And I'm like, that is just the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, I'm so sick of these feminine men. I'm sorry, just, you know, be a man.
Well,
like,
and the message.
But I mean, that's the message that's yeah. out there right now, and I won't go off on that, but that's what I'm talking about, is that it all has to be, you know, all women, they're all powerful, they're all knowing, they're like taking the place of God, if you will. And these men are like, oh, okay, I'm so timid. And mm-hmm. and it's so sickening to me to watch.
It upends God's order of things.
It does. It does.
It doesn't mean that a man is supposed to dominate a woman and that the woman doesn't have a voice.
Yeah.
Because
and we talked
and
about that before.
Men and women in God's eyes were created equal. He loves both of us. And so I don't make decisions without the input from my wife, and vice versa. We work as a team. The Bible talks about the two become one. It doesn't say the two become Richard or the two become Donna. That's not how it's mm-hmm. supposed to work.
Right.
One's not
right.
supposed to dominate another. We're supposed to work together for our common good
yeah.
and to be complementary to one another. And so this whole messaging, like you're talking about,
yeah.
goes against that very thing.
Gosh.
Like one's supposed to dominate? Absolutely mm-hmm. not. Yeah, there's a head of the home and head of the household, and we get that sometimes.
You need order, and you don't need chaos in your home, because that's what that creates.
And what that does, like just to elaborate a little bit more with the whole issue that you talked about early in our marriage, where you were the controller. I mean, I controlled under the radar, but you know, you were more overt. I was covert. But with that said, that pattern of behavior was repeated for our daughters. And so when they enter into their relationships with their husbands, future husbands, then they think that's how it's supposed to be, and it's not. And so we're not training our children up the way they should go.
Right.
What was biblical.
Right.
And what God had ordered from the very beginning. That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. This is a classic example in our own life and marriage where that played itself out. And we've seen that happen. And we have to counsel our daughters in that regard.
We're trying to right the ship.
Yeah.
Now,
it's not like it's
yeah.
bad or anything.
Yeah, no.
But thankfully, God changed our
yes.
marriage and
Amen.
Our life, that we said, no, we're breaking this cycle because we don't want to see that repeated. And then even repeat it into our grandchildren.
And what did that take for? It took humility.
It took humility.
We had to just
Absolutely.
Allow the Lord to strip
swallow
us down.
Swallow your pride.
yeah.
Swallow your pride.
Apologize to your kids. It's really okay to say, I'm sorry,
yeah.
I messed up. Please forgive me. And,
Absolutely.
And, you know. So how do we break these iniquities?
Yeah.
Iniquities in
how
our
do
house?
We do that? Well, I think we've kind of been talking about it a little
yeah.
bit, but we have to call it what it is. Once revelation comes, once you hear teaching like this and you begin to realize that, hey, there's some things that I've been making these inner vows. I have these iniquities from my past, from my parents, and there's a recognition that has to take place. You have to own it.
Yeah, you can't. That's one and two.
You can't become
yeah.
a victim, and you
yeah.
can't say, well, this is something my parents did or whatever, and I'm just a victim of those circumstances, and it's just going to continue to repeat year after year over and over again. If you have that mindset, you're never going to break free from
That's right. That's right.
If you want breakthrough, you have to own it. You have to recognize the behavior, whether that be that inner vow, that's that self-directed promise, or it's a sinful behavior pattern from your past and what you saw growing up in your family. And you have to say, yes, I'm doing that. I'm doing that very thing, and be honest with yourself. Be honest with God, because He already knows. You're not hiding anything from Him, and just repent of that thing. That's where we're going.
You're jumping.
I'm jumping.
So the first step is recognize.
Yeah.
You cannot take responsibility, which is step number two of anything that you don't recognize is going on in your life. So yes, recognize what is going on. If you need help in talking out some of this, because a lot of times it takes an outside person to see in and to hear what you're saying to be able to identify inner vows and things like that, because it's how we've lived our life our whole life. You know, we don't see it.
Yeah.
And so marriageminute@revivalnow.com, you can get a hold of us. We can start talking and walking through all of this. We would love to do that to help bring some more clarity if we're not helping right now and not able to answer each individual thing.
Absolutely.
So you recognize the issue. You recognize, yes, I have an inner vow, and you take responsibility for that. So just because you've recognized, okay, yep, pinpointing these seven inner vows or whatever, Wanda, whatever, that doesn't mean that you're going to do anything with it. So step number two is you got to do something with it. You take responsibility. You take responsibility for your behavior, because it's a sinful behavior. It's going to take standing up against pride. It's going to take humility. And just because your grandparents and your parents behaved that way and were doing something doesn't mean that it was right.
Yeah.
It does not mean that, and it, just because it's all you know, doesn't mean that it's right, and doesn't mean that it's what lines up with God's word. Amen.
Amen.
God's way is right. And don't blame your parents for how they did life and how they parented. They were doing the best that they knew how, but don't blame them for what they were doing, but excuse it in you. That's just being a Pharisee. So don't call your parents out and you know, get all over them for their behavior when you're doing the exact same thing, because odds are you're doing the exact same thing.
Right.
But also in recognizing it and taking responsibility for it and seeing, oh my gosh, this came from my grandparents to my parents to me. It doesn't mean we don't love them.
Right.
We love them. We love them. We love them. We love them. But we that want to break change. That cycle of sinful behavior in our life.
Just having grace toward them and compassion and empathy, because hey, they didn't know what was happening to them either.
Exactly.
And so until revelation comes, you really don't know. So
exactly.
Have some grace and empathy toward your parents.
Exactly.
And you can love them, even though that you have some recognition now of what's taken place.
Yeah.
The third thing we have to do is we have to forgive our parents. You know, that's what Jesus said. You know, Matthew chapter 6, 14
and 15. Are you going
there?
I was heading that way.
Okay, I'll pull it up real quick. Matthew chapter 6.
Let's see if verses there first.
It helps again when you get into the right.
I'm there.
Go read it.
If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you.
Yeah.
That's a huge statement right there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you refuse to forgive others, example, your parents, your grandparents, anybody else, your Father will not forgive your sins.
So it goes back to what I just said a moment ago. They're repeating what they saw.
They didn't know.
Have some grace.
Yeah.
Extend empathy toward them.
Amen.
You know, continue to love them. You don't have to withdraw your love and have a negative attitude toward your parents because of what you've now realized is happening within yourself, and you don't want that cycle to continue to repeat itself into your children. Forgive them. Forgive them. Let it go. Jesus said, "You must forgive your brother from your heart." And if we can't do that, our Father in heaven can't forgive us. So forgiveness is a huge thing.
It's an eternal, has an eternal impact.
Oh my gosh. Because
plain and simple.
If you can't forgive your brother from your heart, forgive your parent from your heart, then how can you expect Christ, who came and died, was suffered greatly on our behalf, whipped and beaten, took on all the sin of the world for us, for you and I, for all time, for every man, woman that ever has lived. He took on a great punishment for us, and we cannot forgive our parent for what may have happened, and they didn't even know what happened to them anyway, and it was done to them. And so you have to release forgiveness toward them, because then it's actually going to lift a burden off of your spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you have unforgiveness, you carry a burden in you, and it's like a heavy weight. But when forgiveness comes, and when you release forgiveness, you'll physically, it'll be tangible, you'll physically feel a lifting. Your spirit is going to feel lighter, actually.
Yeah.
And it's there's so much power in forgiveness.
So let's finish up here because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
Matthew 6:14. Did I read that one?
You did.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, I want to read this 1 John 1:8-10 because it goes in line with what you were just saying.
Okay.
If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness.
Yeah.
If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. So we have to decide, as we said at the beginning of this, we've got to decide that to make Jesus the Lord of our life in that area, in all areas, but we're specifically talking about the inner vows that you have taken on. We need to make Jesus the Lord of our life in that area. You know, don't dismiss it just because it's the past.
Right.
You know, because we don't want to look backward, you know, to live our life from there. There's just death in the past. Looking forward and looking towards God is where we look. But we have to take note of what happened in the past, of how we are behaving and acting and believing what we believe today. Mm-hmm. And so don't dismiss it just because it's in the past, because you are going to bring those negative generational sin patterns forward. It is going to come into your future if you don't take responsibility for it now.
Well, and I think that scripture in the first bit that you read, I think verse 8, was talking about, you know, don't deceive yourselves that you don't sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So all of us have sinned. And so when you take this prideful attitude that you have not sinned, or you're not operating in a sinful behavior pattern or a wrong belief system, an inner vow, if you will, and that's become the Lord in your life, or it's an idol in your life above the word of God, then you are deceiving yourselves, the Bible says. And so, but the great thing is that if we'll recognize it, like we've already talked about, and we can repent of those things and make Jesus the Lord of our life in that area, now his truth, the Lord Jesus' truth, becomes my truth. Amen. It's not that inner vow that has been my truth and what has been guiding my life, or that sinful behavior pattern that I've been, you know, that I've seen growing up, and this is how I'm going to parent, this is how I'm going to do money, this is whatever. That thing is not going to be the thing that drives my life and how I do life anymore from a sinful behavior pattern standpoint. Now it's Jesus and what Jesus says is the way. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life.
Amen.
And so when we can come to that place of full faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and that belief that he's for us and he's not against us, we can submit ourselves to him, knowing that he wants the very best for us. We have to come to that belief that he wants the best for us, for you. He does. Yeah.
The word says, you know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking here. Ultimately, we need to pray. We need to pray and repent, confess that our sinful behaviors are exactly what they are, sinful behaviors, and this is how we've been operating in them, and ask God to break this iniquity and these inner vows off your life.
Amen. It's powerful.
It's meant to be simple. You know, I'm not saying the walking out process is easy. It's probably going to be one of the hardest things you've had to do, because you're trained to react and do life a certain way. So that's why it's important to have your spouse or people that you trust to hold you accountable. Hey, tell them, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm going through. These are the behavior patterns that I want stopped.
Yeah.
I have prayed. I've repented. I've taken responsibility for it. God is doing a thing in my life. But I also know that I am made of flesh and I can revert to the familiar. And so have people hold you. That's what I had to do. Have people hold you accountable, and don't get mad at them because they're doing what you asked them to do. You know, you just got to give people grace and say, okay, if they're seeing that, then there's something here that I need to address and to turn from and do the exact opposite.
So what it all leads to is this. Don't allow your past to be your future. Don't allow sinful behavior patterns. Don't allow brokenness in your life. Don't allow belief systems that were formed in your childhood to be your future. Because Jesus came And he came to give you a transformed life. He came, he said, look, I came to make all things new. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He makes all things new. And so when we submit ourselves to him and trust him, and we pray and repent of those things that we've been made known of, then we are moving to another level, because now we're rewriting the story. Jesus already rewrote the story for mm-hmm. us.
Amen.
Right? We're just grabbing a hold of what he's done for us and saying, yes, I want a new future. I don't want my history to define my future.
That's right.
I want Jesus' history. I want his history, what he's done for me, to make my future brand new, because that's what he came to do for you.
Amen.
And so I want to pray for everybody out there as we close this broadcast, yes. because I know Holy Spirit is moving and working on many hearts. There's revelation coming. And I know from that you can step into this. You can forgive. You can repent of behaviors, and you can be free in okay. Jesus' name. So, Father, I thank you for each and every one watching live and on demand. I thank you, Father God, that by the power of your Spirit, you're empowering people to break free from their past. No longer will issues from thank their you, past Jesus. That may have been carried down from their parents, no longer will inner vows, these self-directed promises, direct their future. No longer will that happen. I thank you that as you have empowered each and every one listening today, that you are giving them the strength, the courage to recognize and to repent of their behaviors, of these wrong mindsets, these wrong belief systems. And as they do so, Father God, and as they forgive their parents of things that happened in their life, that, Father, you would forgive them, and you would make all things
yes,
new
Jesus, thank you,
because Lord. That's what you came to do. So, Father, we thank you. We bless each and every one out there. We thank you that as these things are healed and you restore people, you're reconciling marriages right now
yes.
in the name of Jesus.
Thank you,
we
Lord.
Thank you for it.
Hallelujah.
We love you, Lord Jesus. And we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, God bless you,
God guys. Bless you. Thank
we love
you for
you.
Watching. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening today. Catch all of our podcasts at revivalnow.com and send us your Marriage Minute questions at marriageminute@revivalnow.com.